Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, inviting you and welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in and hope you'll continue to listen in this morning as we're going to be looking at the 9/11s in the Bible, something very interesting I want to try to get into today, the different 9/11s in the Bible. We're winding down our series we've been looking at this summer on the subject of 9/11, so that's what we're going to get into today. I want to welcome Noah to the radio broadcast this morning. Good to see him and good to be here with him in the studio. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. It's good to be here. We want to say welcome to our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who are listening in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We are thankful for all the radio stations carrying the blessings of liberty. We hope and pray that it's a blessing unto them, and we really appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio. And I don't know how many states that is in, but I think there's somewhere around 7 or 8 different states that the broadcast reaches into. May not cover the whole state, but at least reaches into. And my, what a blessing that is. So we do appreciate our listeners, and I encourage people from time to time, you know, if you hear anything on the radio broadcast you'd like to know more, we do have a church website we'd like to invite you to go to. It's mountlebanonbc.org. you can find out more information there about the church, our services. If you're in the area, we'd love to invite you to come and visit with us there. But it's mountlebanonbc.org, mtlebanonbc.org. Now, I want to just jump right into Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 9. I was noticing in the Scofield Bible the heading that Scofield has, and I hadn't really paid that much attention to that. But I think it's interesting now that I've been studying for several weeks and looking back over this. It says there in the Scofield Bible, the heading, "The Vision of the Stretched Out Hand, the Unavailing Chastisement." And I believe that pretty much sums it up. There's the warning from the Lord that goes unheeded, and there's judgment ahead. The warning goes unheeded. There's nothing but judgment ahead. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and 10, this is what we've been looking at. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. What got me looking at this weeks ago, back early in the summer, late spring, I come across a little book called The Harbinger. A lot of people have read it. And, you know, that's what got me started looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. The Harbinger as a book, I wouldn't even really, I cannot wholeheartedly recommend. There's things in the book that I do not agree with, but I got to look and I thought, you know, if the Bible says anything to us today out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, then I want to look at it and I want to see what the Bible says. So we started there, we've referenced the book and then other books as well. But really, what I've been wanting to do is dig into the Bible and see what the Bible says to us today out of this passage of Scripture. And so we've seen there, we've seen a lot of things. We've seen the action, the bricks are falling down. That's the action. But we will build with hewn stones. That's the attitude. We've seen last week the afterwards of that. And that's where we get into verse number 10. At verse number 11, now this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together." So in verse number 10, we've looked at that, but in verse number 11, "Therefore," God said, "Therefore, I'm going to raise up adversaries. I'm going to send the enemies against Israel. We see in verse number 12, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 12, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind. Now, Israel today is still surrounded by the same enemies that would like to devour them, annihilate them, and push them into the sea and make them extinct as a nation. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind. And they shall devour Israel with open mouth. What we see there is an ancient picture of the United Nations, the nations surrounding Israel, the nations coming against Israel as their enemy, as their adversaries. This picture has not changed down through the years. It's still, it is going on right now today in Israel. Israel is up against it. And so therefore, I want to point out the therefore of chapter 9, verse number 11 is a direct result of their rejection of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Now, this is something that we have not pointed out up to this point. But let me go back and read these verses. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, verse 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so God gave Israel a message and said, "I'm going to send my son. The government shall be upon his shoulders." God sent his word unto them. That's what it says in verse number 8. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob. God sent his word. Jesus Christ came in the flesh over 2,000 years ago. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, 9/11 is a result of their rejection of the word. And when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they rejected him as a people. They rejected him with a unanimous voice. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 23, in verse number 18, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." They said, "We don't want Jesus Christ. We want Barabbas. Release unto us Barabbas." Barabbas, the name Barabbas is of a Chaldee origin. It means the son of Abba. But if you study out the name of Barabbas, what it means, it has a Hebrew counterpart. And the Hebrew name Barabbas means arrogancy, excellency, majesty, pomp, pride, swelling, meaning the father of. So they wanted the father of pride, pomp, arrogancy. That's who they wanted instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 of Luke 23 says about Barabbas, "Who for a certain sedition..." Now, the word sedition means a popular uprising or an insurrection. Barabbas was a leader of an insurrection, a popular uprising of the day. "And Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." So what they were saying in Jesus' day, in Luke chapter number 23, they were saying they would rather have anarchy. They'd rather have mass disruption. They'd rather have a murderer. They'd rather have mayhem. They'd rather have an individual that was released from prison than they would the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. So 9/11 is the result of a choice. You say, "Preacher, are you saying that 9/11 and all the dying and all the loss and all the following catastrophes and all of these things, they were the result of a choice?" And I say, yes, 9/11 is the result of a choice. "Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin." But 9/11 in the Bible, I want to point out some 9/11s in the Bible. It's the result of a choice. Now, I'm going to go to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. 9:11 is the result of a choice. I'm going to show you from the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, here's Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, and here's the therefore. The curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Daniel said, we've been disobedient. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we sinned against him. And the curse that he's talking about in the law of Moses, and I've talked about this before, the curses of Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter number 28, where God said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. If you will not hearken unto my words, I'll curse you, and all the curses that are written. And I've gone over this before. He said, you'll become the tail and not the head. You'll become the borrower and not the lender. I'll curse you in the field. I'll curse you in your house. I'll curse you in the fruit of your field. And on and on and on down through there it goes. God says, if you disobey me, I'm not going to be able to bless you, but I'm going to curse you because of that disobedience. Rejection of God and his word has very serious consequences. And that's where we are in America today. Once upon a time, we honored, we obeyed, we made place for, we gave prominence to the Word of God. But today in America, it's becoming an illegal thing. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want prayer. We don't want prayer in the school. We don't want prayer in public. We don't want churches. There's a community in California going to make a no church zone. They said, we don't want your kind down here. Chick-fil-A, think about that. The mayors of major cities in America, Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Illinois, they said, we don't want Chick-fil-A. We don't want your kind here. We don't want God. We don't want anything to do with the Lord. All of this has serious consequences. I do not have time. I'm going to skip Ezekiel chapter number 9. But those of you that would like to study it out, read Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. You'll find there the unstoppable judgment of God. Now, numbers in the Bible are significant. They mean something. There's a book in the Bible called Numbers. God recognizes, God uses numbers. Well, the devil does too. You have to be careful in using numbers, but I want to point out that numbers in the Bible mean something. The Bible says in Revelation 13, in verse number 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And so God has told us beforehand that the beast, the Antichrist, has a number. There is a number that is associated with the beast, the Antichrist. Counting and finding out is encouraged by King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me read a couple of verses over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 25. I applied mine heart to know and to search out and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Solomon said, I wanted to find out the reason for things. And he began to search and to seek out. And he goes on, verse 27, he said, behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. And so numbers in the Bible and a counting, they do mean something. The number 9, for example, is the number of birth or fruit bearing or fruitfulness. You think about pregnancy. You think about 9 months until the baby arrives. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1 says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The Apostle Paul, the greatest soul winner of all time, the greatest church planter of all time, is found, introduced to us in Acts, the 9th chapter. The fruit of the Spirit is found in the 9th book of the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There are 9 words used to describe the fruit of the Spirit. 9 in the Bible is the number of fruitfulness, fruit bearing, the birth of. The number 11 in the Bible is a number that represents disorder, judgment, something that is unfinished, something that is incomplete, a kingdom or a nation. The 11th chapter of Genesis tells us the story of the Tower of Babel. We find the Tower of Babel that was Nimrod desired to build. They said, let us build a city and a tower unto heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. That was the devil's first attempt of a new world order. Genesis chapter number 11. In the book of Daniel, Daniel had a vision of the empire of the Antichrist. Of the Antichrist, he seen a beast that had 10 horns. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. Verse number 8, Daniel said, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. This was a vision of the Antichrist. He was the 11th of those horns. Now, you put these numbers together in the Bible, 9 and 11. When we find 9-11 in the Bible, the significant passages of Scripture, what we find is the birth of a new order, the birth of a united nation, a kingdom of disorder and judgment. We find a picture of Babel over there. Babel means confusion. Babel was built, but Babel was stopped by the Lord. Psalms chapter number 10, verses 2 and 3 says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. I found that a while back, and I got to thinking about what it says there, especially in verse number 3. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. The wicked and pride. Pride loves to boast. If you will listen, if you will pay attention, you will find that the devil every day is boasting and bragging and advertising and preaching his plans for a new world order. It's not a conspiracy. The leaders of the world are talking about this now. Several years ago when preachers came out and talked about, this new world order, people said, well, they are conspiracy theorists. They are nut jobs. But now this is a common phrase spoken by the leaders of the world, a new world order. I do not believe it was by accident that Elder Bush, President Bush, came out September the 11th, 1991, with his famous New World Order speech to Congress. And this is Elder Bush I'm talking about. Over 20 years ago, came out, made the speech. He said, what is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. That was 9/11/1991. 10 years later to the date, 9/11/2001, the universal number to dial in emergencies is now associated with terrorist attacks. Before 9/11/2001, if somebody said 911, you thought that's the number you dial in an emergency. Now, when somebody says 9/11, you associate that with what happened September the 11th, 2001, the terrorist attacks on New York City, the Pentagon, the flights, and all of those things. Do you know no other event has changed the world and affected the world in the direction of a one world society greater than what happened 9/11 2001. That changed the whole way the world operates. 9/11 2001 is what propelled the world into the police state that we find ourselves in today, a society of the big eye in the sky, surveillance, drones. Now drones are being brought out. We're being watched from the sky. Every movement, your communications, your emails can be monitored, your cell phone calls, your text messages, your Facebook, all of these things are being watched. They're being monitored. Privacy is just about a thing of the past. And if you are concerned about your privacy, well, you are suspect. Why would you? What are you hiding? We're going to look at you. You might be plan a terrorist attack or something like that. 9/11 changed how the world banked. It's changed the money system of the world, how money is exchanged, how money is watched and transferred and checks are cashed, and how much money you have in the bank, how much of a deposit you make if you draw over a certain amount out. All of this, 9/11 changed all these things. When the Twin Trade Towers, it was decided that they would be built back. They said, we're going to call them the Freedom Towers as a tribute to what happened on 9/11. These new towers are going to be bigger, they're going to be better, they're going to be taller than the previous ones. And for several years after 9/11, these were the Freedom Towers. The Freedom Towers. Do you know now the name of the Freedom Towers has been changed? It's going to be called the One World Trade Center. You see, the Antichrist will rule the world during the tribulation. And the Antichrist will use a police state to do that. He will control all the money. He will control all the resources. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 17 says, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And for several years, and I've studied this out, I've preached about this, I've talked about this. People talk about, Bible students, Bible teachers, they'll talk about this is headed towards a cashless society. And we think to ourselves, well, we're seeing what's happening in America and around the world. We're moving towards a society now that does business by electronic transaction. We have a card. We swipe our card through a card reader, and everything is done electronically. But I believe, as I've studied this out, it's going to be much more than just your money's going to be directly deposited and you will do your business by transaction of a card. I believe what we're headed towards is the greatest heist in the history of the world, where the Antichrist, the One World Movement, will steal, will take away all the money, all the resources. They will control everything. You will not have money in a banking account. You will be allotted what you can buy, what you can get through that number. The people aren't going to have money. They're not even going to have money like we think about having money today. This is the society that we are headed towards, a cashless society. No cash, no money, no freedom to buy, no freedom to grow, no freedom to go and build a business and start something, and no freedom to do that whatsoever. Now, I've got to hurriedly close. You remember at the beginning today, I talked about how the Luke chapter number 23, they cried out. They said, release unto us Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas over Jesus. They wanted a murderer over the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted a seditionist. They wanted an insurrectionist. They wanted a rabble-rouser, a troublemaker, a destroyer, instead of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to the last 9/11 in the Bible, Revelation chapter 9, verse number 11. I want to read that. It's talking about, getting into a lot here, it's talking about the fifth trumpet, the first woe. But anyway, it talks about this beast that will come out of the earth. Daniel saw the beast. Daniel saw the little horn. Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 8. But in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, it said, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." That is where 9/11 is heading towards. This world is heading towards the time where the Antichrist will rule the world. I have just a few minutes left. I want to try to describe something to you I thought was very interesting. If you saw the closing ceremony of the Olympics, this was on the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal. I believe it was August the 13th. It was right after the Olympics, front page. And I went back and watched this after that. I seen it on the front page of the newspaper when the Olympics closed. Now, the Olympics is a one world, new world order, one world loving event. The whole spirit behind that is to bring the nations of the world together under one, under unity. But anyway, the Olympics closed. The Olympic torch, the flame, dies down. This is happening live in London. I went back and watched over this. The Olympic flame is dying down. The embers, the torch goes down. There's just a few flames left. And this bird appears, this red, it's a phoenix. If you know anything about the occult, anything about mythology, you will find the phoenix featured in the occult. And the phoenix describes and represents a bird that was destroyed and that rises out of the flames. Now, those who were doing the commentary all throughout the closing ceremony, they said, "This means this, this means this, this represents this." I noticed when the phoenix appeared, nobody said anything about what that meant. I immediately knew what that was a picture of. Here's the flames. Here's the bird rising up out of the flames. Then a group comes on and sings a song. It's a British group. The name of that group is Take That. That's the name of the group, Take That. And they sang a song entitled "We Will Rule the World." You say that doesn't mean a thing. Well, you can believe that if you want to. But that is the Antichrist. That is the wicked boasting, bragging, preaching what he intends to do. Well, I'm almost out of time today. I want to say I am not looking for Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 11. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a hope greater than what this world has to offer. What I am really looking for is the 9/11 call of the believer, the 9/11 of the saint of God. And we find that in Revelation 19 and verse number 11, where John saw a vision of the Lord. He said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And it goes on down. You know, there is a new world order that is going to come. But the devil's crowd and the Antichrist, they're going to be severely, severely disappointed, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come in glory. He's going to disappoint the devices which they have imagined. And there will be a new world order where Christ reigns for 1,000 years from the throne of David in Jerusalem. It's going to turn out right for the children of God. I hope you're saved. If you know what I'm talking about, I hope you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that time to prepare is quickly running out, and we hope and trust you know what I'm talking about today. Well, I appreciate you listening in. Our time is quickly come and gone. Noah's going to come and give the contact information today. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.